When you put in Russell Wilson performing the way he's performing now, that team is a problem.
I can't retaliate on you. You're the man. Like, I can't do nothing to you. I'm going to get cut.
If you go have words with the kicker or the punter or the long, that's like you're a bully. It's very, very disrespectful. I hated to see that from people. In Germany was
whew. It was fun.
They are something else over there.
Yeah,
they are about that action. He was running that first day, Bill. 20 minutes in, I was just looking at him. I was like, I played 1,300 games. I know where this is going.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Jason and OC podcast, brought to you by 888 Sport and Lazy Boy, the official partner of the NFL UK and Ireland. I'm back with my guy. I had him this weekend in Germany. I was amped up. OC, can you verbally commit to doing that again with me?
No. Did you like it, JBL? Did you enjoy it? It was fun, right?
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, cool. It's, you know, we love what we do, but my goodness, when we're together doing that, man, it's effortless.
Yeah.
It is effortless.
Fun.
It's fun. We enjoy it. So please find it in your heart.
You know what wasn't fun, Jamie?
What's that?
I saw Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys say some stuff and it triggered something in my mind.
Okay. I want to know what this is. Before we talk about that, let's just tell the people what happened that didn't know. The Cowboys lost to the Eagles, 6-34. It was a blowout, man. Dallas looked bad. They trailed by at least 20 points in their last five home games, bro. This is the first time in NFL history that's happened. So, that being said, let's talk about Micah Parsons.
So, after the game, they're asking him some questions about his head coach and his response. I'm not going to say it verbatim, but are we playing this clip? Are we going to play the clip?
Okay. Oh, we got the clip. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Man, that guy does something for a living. Mm-hmm. He finally comes through.
Play the clip, Uncle Sam.
It's on the final year of his contract, so outside there's, of course, going to be questions. What's the sentiment inside the locker room, and what do you tell people who are wondering about whether McCarthy will be your coach next year?
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. All coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but guys, I kind of feel bad for his guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
Put in more time, work and effort than Mike McCarthy ever did. I don't think he thought that through, and I don't think he probably meant it the way it sounded, because that sounded ridiculous. But I'm going to draw a parallel between this and this whole player empowerment movement and them talking and all this type of stuff, because we've seen a whole bunch of this recently.
It's a lot of talking.
A lot of that. I'm going to draw a parallel between that and what happened November 5th?
Oh, give me more.
In the United States of America.
Give me more, please.
Donald Trump won the election, and there was a lot of, you know, some people liked it, some people hated it.
Divided country.
Cool. Whatever your feelings are, cool.
Pretty even, both sides.
What I think happened, because people say sexism, misogyny, and all that type of stuff, and I think there might have been some part that played a part in it, right? But I think what happened was, overall, the working class of America just got tired. They get tired of the being lectured to, being told what to do, all the talking, the wokeism, they just got tired. And they said, this is enough. And they pushed back at the polls, right? Whether or not they're right or wrong, cool. But that's what I think happened. In this era of player empowerment and talk and all this stuff that these players are doing now, if we're not careful, J-Bell, there is going to be pushback on that. And I do not think we are going to like the end results.
Pushback by who?
The powers that be.
The owners?
100%.
If you're to say that, you want to continue or do you want...
This is what I mean by that, J-Bell. If, in fact, you're going to go down this route, which we are increasingly going down. Everybody's talking, everybody's doing all these type of things as a player. You have to understand that, yes, we have power, but we don't have the power.
Okay.
That belongs to the fans.
Good point.
And that belongs to the people who are writing the checks.
Fans and owners. Good point, Olsi. Those two.
And although we feel ourselves, and although
we are the product, yep.
If they decide that they've had enough of this, they can kick us all out of here.
Interesting.
And what I'm telling you is, you can only go so far.
Yeah.
And we don't seem to know where that line is. We're encroaching. We're encroaching. We're encroaching. Cool. Rightfully so. We need to start pulling this back a little bit before that inevitable backlash comes. Because what you're going to see is what happened on the 5th. I'm telling you that there are a lot of people who do not want to see that happen. It has to be the boiling of a frog. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Where the, you know, the frog is being boiled slowly. You're just turning it up slowly, slowly, so until all of a sudden he's like, oh.
It's hot.
It's hot. As opposed to just, you just throw him in there. No. Incremental. 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 We have gone too far to the other side. And we need to start pulling this back before it's too late, J-Bell.
Interesting way to look at it. I was following you. I didn't know what direction we were going. So I've learned to not think while you're talking. Mm. I've learned to just listen. Mm-hmm. You've taught me a skill, because a lot of times people are thinking of their response while they're listening. Yeah. Okay. So I'm listening and I go on this ride with you. And once it slowed down and I realized now I can start thinking, the first thing that came to my mind is, but this is the culture of the team. Mm. You made a very broad point. You over the entire league, you brought in political scenarios. I went to the micro, which is, what does he play for? Plays for the Dallas Cowboys. Mm. A lot of attention. People want to know what he has to say. That's why he has his own podcast. He probably gets a ton of money for it. Who is in the media every week talking about the team, regardless of what's happening on a Monday in Dallas? Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones. That team is run by its owner. When you have a problem, you go to Jerry. He's the team. He's the identity. That's the culture of the team. I believe Micah Parsons, first of all, he's been injured, right? And you know how it is when you're injured. You just kind of tuck away till you come back. But because he has a microphone in his face all the time, because he has a podcast, he has to talk, right? He's chosen to do this. That's hard. Sometimes we got to make stuff up too. Not make it up, but we got to have an opinion. Mm. So he's forced to have an opinion. You just start talking and you realize, like, your words impact the locker room because you are the man. You know, things you say, people are taking and they're twisting and turning it. That's why, as a guy of your caliber, as a player, you knew, say less. Mm. Say less. That's not the culture of the Cowboys. It's a say more. It's a attention. It's what it is. So I feel like, to your point, that is what that team is. As long as you don't say nothing bad about Jerry, which you shouldn't, you can talk freely. And their record says it.
So I hear you. I wasn't speaking about just Micah Parsons.
Right. And I went straight to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, no. It's true.
That's not who I'm speaking about.
And I thought about him, his exact words. But you're right. No, I'm just following. As I went on that, I thought, yes, I agree with that. But now when we're talking about this team and why they did it, it made the light bulb go off in my head. I was like, that's why it's okay.
Yes. For them.
For them.
But to me, this is much bigger than
yes.
that. It is a generational, a cultural shift away from
what's good for the team.
And it's all about the individual and me.
Yeah.
And boom, 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 boom. And I'm telling you, I can see it now. A couple of years from now, there is going to be a pushback to that.
Back towards, like, the team, the identity, giving away the individualism and letting that take a backseat to the greater good.
Because they've taken it too far. They have taken it to a point, right, where people like yourself, people like me, who are all for player, and not, hey, why are they doing, this is a lot now, why are you? And once we, who played in the league, start asking those questions, Imagine what everybody else is thinking.
You know what? This is fascinating. We're going to spend so much time about this, talking about this away. But OC, regardless of any how anybody feels about this conversation, when we look at championship teams, they are championship teams for a reason. Because as an individual, they put what matters to them to the side and what matters for the team in the front.
First.
You've won two Super Bowls and you know it, you've seen it, you've witnessed it. So we're talking about a bad team right now. And there's a reason for that. Oh, see, let's get into Game of the Week.
Let's do it.
It's time for the Lazy Boy Game of the Week, the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Washington Commanders. Let's go, OC.
Yes, sir, J Bell. What an absolute cracker of a game we had.
Cracker?
Yes, a cracker of a game we had as the Washington Commanders took on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here we go in the first quarter, 8:40 to go, 2nd and 9. Russell Wilson's going to throw a moon ball.
Wilson hooks a pass, looking, end zone! George Pickens climbs the ladder for the touchdown.
Nobody throws a prettier ball than Russell Wilson. What a great catch by George Pickens, J. Bell.
You're right about Russell Wilson. He throws a great deep pass down the sideline. He's known for this, but it's George Pickens' ability to adjust in the air and attack the ball. Look at him find a way to come down with the rock. It's that trust that's going to make them so explosive for the next few games.
Still in the first quarter, 3:50 to go, 1st and goal. Here goes Jaden Daniels. He's going to hand the ball off to Austin Ekeler, Mr. Do-It-All, the Swiss Army knife, and he jackknifes into the end zone. What a play.
Pitch it. Touchdown, Ekeler.
A quick pitch to the right. He finds his way into the end zone behind his big pulling guard right there, number 76. Get in the end zone, Austin Ekeler.
We go to the second half, 3rd quarter, 14:55. This is the very, very first play from scrimmage. Jaden Daniels is going to pass the ball.
Daniels throwing on first down to Terry McLaurin. Breaks away! Foot race McLaurin will get caught by Joey Porter. But a huge gain on the first play from scrimmage.
And that is Scary Terry making people miss. Look at the acceleration. Is he going to go all the... Nope. Joey Porter Jr. is going to bring him down, J-Bell.
Oh, man, but a great play by Scary Terry, and he is scaring the mess out of that defense with this play. Look at the accurate pass on the RPO, finding a crease in the zone and trying to outrun the defender. But Joey Porter, he has wheels too. Great play by the Washington Commanders.
On to the 4th quarter, 2:27 to go, and this is 3rd and 9, Russell Wilson.
3rd and long, Wilson floats it way upstairs. Williams, he's got it! Touchdown!
Who is that, the castoff? The reject Mike Williams?
Mike Williams, the newest Steeler, scores!
What an incredible over-the-shoulder catch, and he shows the Aaron Rodgers Jets, you let me go, but I'm here to stay.
The Pittsburgh Steelers said, Mike, we want you, and we want you to go up like Jordan in the air and come down with the ball. Right here, you have the corner sitting down at the sticks because it's 3rd and 8, and he just goes up. Great throw by Russell Wilson over the shoulder. He had pressure in his face, OC, and he still delivered this strike.
So the Washington Commanders needed one more stop. 4th down and 1. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to hard count, and oh my goodness, you cannot be serious.
And there is a jump! Washington played into their hands. Wilson celebrating. Steelers are going nuts on the sideline.
It all comes down to discipline in these tight, contested games. And you see what happens. The Pittsburgh Steelers, known for their discipline, known for their toughness. Mike Tomlin, the leader of this team, they come out with a victory. Russell Wilson is pumped up, by the way. He's going to party tonight. Okay, that definitely was the game of the week, OC. The Steelers are now 7-2 after this game. Obviously, they won 28-27 to the Commanders. And Russell Wilson, I mean, his 4th quarter comeback was key. 2 touchdown passes in the 1st quarter. I mean, this is the reason why Mike Tomlin selected him to come in and play, and he's given them a spark. And then the defense, man, forced the Commanders into multiple 3 and outs, which gave them the ball back on offense and allowed them to do their thing. Mike Williams, like you said on that, on the big time catch, another guy they just got. When I'm looking at this team, though, I really have a question because they've kind of come out of nowhere. You know, the Steelers are going to be tough every year. Mike Tomlin team, they always have a winning record. But now we really have to talk about and consider them as a playoff team, which they are at this moment. But could they be a viable threat in the AFC? My question is, they play the Ravens at home. Mm. They got the Browns away. Mm-hmm. They got the Bengals away. And then they got the Browns at home.
Yeah.
All divisional games. We know how that is. We know how tough that is. Do you see the Pittsburgh Steelers making it to the playoffs, and are they a viable threat?
Definitely a playoff team, without a shadow of a doubt. They're going to encounter some turbulence in their division, because all those games are tough. Every last one.
Yep.
You might not even think the Browns would beat. Browns might actually go ahead and beat them in one of those games. That's exactly how that division goes, up and down.
Yeah.
But when you look at Pittsburgh over the last couple of years, you know their defense was formidable.
Yes.
Always are going to happen. They're going to pack a punch. They have so many good players. They're well coached, well coordinated. Offensively, that's where the problem was.
Yeah.
Quarterback. Like, who's the quarterback? Who's he? As soon as Ben left, it was like, okay, what's going on? Even in later years, it was
where's the life at?
Right?
Yeah.
When you put in Russell Wilson performing the way he's performing now, that team is a problem. They have receivers. They have a tight end. They have a good offensive line. And they have a quarterback who can get that ball down the field. I think anybody who plays against this Pittsburgh team is going to be in trouble. They're going to be a challenge. They're going to be able to beat anybody in the AFC who they play against. I can't see one team that I look at in the AFC and say, oh, this team is going to, you know, completely win this game. Like, there's no team there in the AFC. They can beat anybody.
Ooh.
So it is going to be a struggle for anybody to beat this Pittsburgh Steelers team, J-Bell.
Nice, nice. Let's talk about the standings. Okay, KC is at the top. Mm-hmm. Then you got Buffalo. At number three right now is Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Then you got Houston. You got Baltimore at the number five seed right now. Number six is the Los Angeles Chargers, who you had high praise about, right? And number seven seed is the Denver Broncos.
Outside of Kansas City and Baltimore.
Okay.
Who would you say that this team, even Kansas City, who would you say that the Pittsburgh Steelers couldn't beat in the AFC?
Out of Kansas City and Baltimore, everybody.
They can beat everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah, so it's like they can beat every single one of those teams.
Yeah.
So
and on a good day, I mean, the way they attacked this Washington Commanders team, I think, you know, as you've played a ton of football, there's a script on you that year. Mm. And all it takes is the right coordinator to say, oh, this is how you stop them? Oh, this is how you attack them? And the way they got after the Commanders, closely contested game. But it's going to show you how you minimize the impact of Jaden Daniels and the explosive plays. Mm. I mean, they got a little bit, but obviously not enough. So we'll see if they can get out of that funk and adjust. That is Washington. But this is what a good team does to you, and this is what the Pittsburgh Steelers have done. And you're right, they're getting better. Mm. It could be interesting. Another team that got a win, OC, is the team of destiny.
Okay.
The team of destiny.
Team of destiny.
The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Denver Broncos. They are 9-0. The Chiefs are 9-0. And I'm telling you, I love when it comes down to a blocked field goal, bro. Special teams coming through. You had good late game offense with Mahomes and the Chiefs. They took advantage of their opportunities, scoring late to overcome a 14-13 deficit. They were resilient in this comeback. Mm-hmm. And this is what they are. I believe when you got a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, the game can be close. It can be tight. He can turn it on in the fourth quarter. He can make plays happen. They've been there before. They are balanced. Defense playing well. Special teams just got them a win. I believe this is a championship pedigree, OC. Mm. Do you? Everybody is impacting the game. They have it all. They can overcome. Before I ask this question, because I asked you and then I cut you off, but there's a reason. I believe great teams are like great leaders, great organizations. You are the head of NFL Africa because you are the guy that has to fix things. When something's going on, you got to be the decision maker. In the battle, it works out. Hey, it might not have been good when it got on your desk, but you figured it out. This is how I look at this team. Regardless of the situation in the game, they keep finding ways to win, and they're all different. They're all unique, and a multitude of people are helping to accomplish these goals. That is championship pedigree. That's why this team is 9-0. That's why they're on the way for a three-peat.
Okay, I hear you. And up until I would say maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, I would have agreed with you.
Oh, okay.
I no longer agree with you, J-Bell.
Get out.
This team is winning ugly. They have won 9 games ugly.
You don't think that makes you tough and gritty?
I don't think so at all, Jason. I think that they are setting themselves up for a very, very disappointing finish, either at the end of the season or the first round of the playoffs. That's what this team is setting themselves up for. Because when you lose, it forces you to really, really adjust and look at yourself in the mirror. Because nobody likes the bitter taste of defeat. Mm-hmm. People hate, well, usually, right? Mm-hmm. If this team keeps on winning the way they're playing right now, they're going to take that winning feeling. Because you know how it is when you win. Even when you win.
Feels good.
Yeah. But even when you win a game that you know you didn't play your best.
Right.
You still, well, we won still.
Mm-hmm. Fact.
Those games, they should have lost at least one or two of these games. And then I would say, okay, this is a team that can go on the three-peat. But this team right here keeps on winning these ugly games. They're not playing well. And eventually it's going to cost them at the very, very end. It's going to come, that loss is going to come at the most inopportune time, J-Bell, and they're going
to
hate it.
You make a strong point, a good point, something for us to watch throughout the season.
I'm never wrong, by the way.
San Francisco 49ers versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The 49ers with a healthy team, you know, healthy when you got Christian McCaffrey back, 23-20 against the Buccaneers. The Niners are now 5-4, and Purdy had a season-high 353 passing yards. You had the game-winning kick by Moody, who had missed a couple of kicks earlier than that. We'll get into that. And then the defense, they really put a lot of pressure on Mayfield, even though he had a couple of dope plays. But they really kind of forced the offense into short games and controlled the flow of the game. When you saw Christian McCaffrey back on the field, you saw what this offense can do with him, Deebo, and Kittle in the game. Mm. And it's because as a defense, when you line up, you see them on the field, you got to go with your base defense, right? Because you got a fullback in the game. Now, as soon as they go to empty set, you put CMC on the outside or you switch and put Deebo in the backfield or put them both in the backfield and put Juszczyk on the outside, man, it's hard.
Yeah.
You're like, what defense do we play? This is what Kyle Shanahan does well. This is when it works. One player matters. And with CMC back in the lineup, I mean, I know the way Arizona's playing. They're doing well in the West. But, I mean, this team's got a chance. What do you think about the San Francisco 49ers?
They're always going to have a chance, J-Bell. Always. Because they're well coached. They have a really good coach. And with those players, as long as they're healthy, I mean, there's really not much you can do to contend with that type of football team. So, every single time they line up with their scheme and those players, they're going to be a tough out.
They're at the number 8 seed right now. So when you look at the NFC, Detroit's number 1, Philly's number 2, Atlanta's number 3, Arizona in their same division is number 4. You have Minnesota.
Arizona's playing well, man.
They're playing really well, man. Really well. I mean, they've kind of
it's shifting. Everybody by surprise. It's
shifting over there. Yeah. Minnesota, right, started fast, struggling. Mm-hmm. Washington is 6, Green Bay is 7. San Francisco, right at number 8, man. Mm. So they're fighting for that 7th seed up there to jump up there. But win your division, that's the best way in. That being said, man, there's something that happened in that game that really made me think. And I want to know your opinion on Deebo Samuels on the sideline. Mm. Obviously, the kicker had missed some field goal kicks, right? He was visibly frustrated. But he kind of tried to choke the long snapper, right? Yeah. And I think we got the clip, right? Let's throw the clip. Man, you know what I'm saying? Uncle Sam, sometimes he does work.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's Tabor Pepper, who's the long snapper of special teams.
Yeah. That's a lot of emotion, and these guys are fighting hard. You know, you're coming out of the bye week. Deebo, he doesn't want to hear that.
I guess taking some trash talk or shots at the kicking game. But
yeah.
Osi, when I look at that, I have several thoughts, but I want to go with you first. What I mean?
That's just ridiculous to me. The kicker had missed a couple of field goals, and maybe he was jawing at the kicker. And the long snapper was like, hey, you know, trying to backing up his
– this doesn't help his confidence.
Yeah. In my entire football playing career, which is high school, college, pros, we're talking about 20 years of football, I do not ever remember having any type of, you know, inflammatory or, you know, conversations with – the long snapper, the kicker, or the punter. They're a part of the team, but they're kind of like,
They're on
their own little world.
Especially
right?
during a game. They're over there kicking, holding, you know, working on their time and their rhythm.
Yeah. And so you never really see that. And that type of behavior, I don't know how to explain it, right? But it's almost like if you go have words with the kicker or the punter or the long, that's like you're a bully.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
You're like a bully. And nobody likes those type of people, man. Yeah. It's very, very disrespectful. I hated to see that from Debo.
Me too. I understand going at it on the sideline. I remember one game I gave up a long pass in the end, like four quarter bit. I was balling all game. Gave up one pass. They caught it. Kicked up field goal, back shoulder fade. Mm. Defensive lineman comes over, wolfing. He's our leader.
Of course.
And he just looks at the coach and he goes, don't ever put him back in there. But he doesn't put his hands on me. Mm. He's visibly mad. You know, I get it in the heat of the battle. But we can take that. You don't go at your kicker like that. Mm. You know, that doesn't help you. And you know what I hated, bro? Out of everything. And it's cool. We have our scuffles. You gonna choke the man out and then walk away? Mm. Like, go toe-to-toe then.
Yeah. If you're going to do that.
Go toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
You see D. Lyman go at it on the Lions side. Bro. We had to try to break y'all up. Yeah. It's crazy. Go toe-to-toe. That's all I can say.
That's receiver behavior.
It.
What he did, that's that is receiver.
Yeah, you're going to choke behavior. And then walk away.
That's
and
receiver behavior.
You're the star.
Yeah, that's
receiver. I can't retaliate on you. You're the man.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do nothing to you. I'm going to get cut.
DBs don't behave that way. DBs, even though they're wolfing, they'll go.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's time to go, they'll go, yeah, right?
For real.
Linemen, that's receiver behavior.
Man, yeah. You know how we feel about that. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the Detroit Lions?
Okay.
Who beat the Texans 26-23. They are now 8-1, and it was a second down shutdown of the Texans that the Lions put on them. They overcame a 16-point deficit with a relentless defense putting pressure on CJ Stroud. You had clutch kicking. That was key. And what you had in this game, OC, I mean, it was turnover central. We could have did game of the week on turnovers just out of this game.
It's actually a pretty good idea.
It was. Uncle Sam came up with that and I knocked it down. Okay. But it should have been a better.
That's fine.
It was a good one. Mm-hmm. So when you look at this and you think about all the turnovers and at the end of the game, you saw Jared Goff kind of go to Dan Campbell a little bit and Campbell smiling and you seen him just say something in his ear where I can imagine that conversation like, my bad, bro. Mm. I put us in this situation. And Dan Campbell's like, yo, don't even worry, bro. We got this. So first of all, before we get into that, how do we feel about CJ Stroud just giving up that lead like that? Listen,
we started off this whole podcast with a conversation. And this 100% ties into that.
Ooh.
So just whole off season.
But he's chilled out during the season.
I mean, he has to. You know why?
Tell me.
He's not performing that well.
Okay.
He's not. I believe if he was out there balling the way he did last year, we probably would have seen a semblance of the offseason CJ Stroud. I believe that. I could be wrong.
Okay.
We don't know.
My opinion on that is this. Do not disagree with the offseason conversation.
Mm.
Offensive coordinator, where is the zig to the zag? Meaning, we know what you do. How do you adjust? The best play callers adjust. I don't feel like it's looking like that. And the protection has its issues. At the line of scrimmage, you know, some quarterbacks do all the checks and pick up all the protections. You know how that is. You lived it. And sometimes the offensive line calls it.
Mm.
And the quarterback just has to react to the hot read or whatever that is. I believe in Houston, the offensive line is calling it. And I don't think, and this is going to really be simple. You can break this down better than everybody, but you know how they just slide?
Yeah.
And once they figure out which way you slide in, good coordinators attack that, right?
Yeah.
I think that's happening a lot. He's got a lot of pressure in his face. And the fact that he spent all offseason talking, we're like, yo, you're supposed to be in the MVP conversation, but I'm going to bail him out and blame it on somebody else.
Oh, that's fine. That's cool. I hear you. And those could be good reasons, right? But what week is this? What week is it? This is week 9?
Okay.
Or week 10. We're in week 10 now, right?
Uh-huh.
Going into week 11.
Mm-hmm.
All of you, Uncle Sam, Xander, J Bell, all of you were in here, right?
I hate when you...
Before the season started.
Okay.
When I said this was going to happen to CJ Stroud.
You did say that.
Did I not?
You said that, but I'm trying to basically, okay, you said that. I'm trying to say it say ain't on all this
This
play.
Would happen.
You did.
Now, if, right, if.
I hate you.
I said that.
Get out of here.
11 weeks ago.
Stop it.
I'm just saying. And this is exactly what has happened. We can blame it on any other thing. We can. We can say all these things.
Yeah, we can.
But I'm telling you what I saw was going to be the problem. And so far, yet again, mm-hmm. I'm correct.
Okay, okay.
I still want to talk about the Detroit Lions.
Though. Yeah, that's what we were supposed to do, but I got distracted trying to back up my Houston Texans.
Five interceptions, Jared Goff.
Yep.
Five picks, and they still win the game. I want to take it back to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Because I believe that what you said about the Kansas City Chiefs actually applies more to the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
They've won ugly. They've won defensively. Their offense is humming. They have so many different ways of winning games. They're not just winning defensively or in an ugly battle. They can beat you in a multitude of ways. This is the best team in football, primarily because of what you said about the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it applies more so to the Detroit Lions than it does the Kansas City J-Bo.
Okay, so if I'm agreeing with you, you talk about a team with grit, resilience, attitude, effort. You talk about a team that is all about the team. The mission is what we're doing. Your best receiver, even though on that show on Netflix, he talked about if I score a touchdown, it's got to go viral, right? Mm. And he does a dance. Mm-hmm. But guess who's who they use to lead block a lot? They insert him into the running game, bro. He's coming downhill trying to take people out. Like, this dude is about the squad. Mm. Everybody is. You got two running backs sharing the load. They've bounced back from losing their best defensive player. A coaching staff full of former players that know about sacrifice, that know what it takes to win. You're right. They're dangerous because of all these elements. And they are, to our conversations throughout this podcast, the greater good is not I. It is we. And it's obvious. And it fits the city because that's who they are, OC.
Yep. 100%.
Did I just agree with you?
You did.
Oh, my gosh. Let's talk about the rest of the teams.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's talk about the rest of the teams. Okay, we got the Ravens beating the Bengals. This was a close one, man. This was early in the week. 35-34. And, you know, the Ravens, man, bounced back from a 14-point deficit to edge out the Bengals. Lamar was on fire, completing over 75% of his passing. And he scored on every final drive. Jamar Chase had an historic day. But I tell you what, that boy on the other side was balling too. Mm. You know what I'm saying? My man, that I have to say it with my heart, I love some Joe Burrow.
You do.
But he can't do it all. After the game, though, this was interesting. When you think about the Ravens and you think about Lamar Jackson being the MVP, he still is, in my opinion, because of what Coach Tomlin said in his game when they try to compare him to Jalen Daniels. He said, be slow comparing people to Lamar Jackson. That's a multi-time MVP. That's Mr. Jackson. We'll see Mr. Jackson in a few days.
Yeah. He had to say that first and foremost because you don't want angry Lamar. You understand what I'm trying to say? Remember when that lady was talking trash and then, you know, he destroyed that team? You don't want that to show up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But he's 100% correct. I mean, Lamar Jackson right now playing quarterback at the highest level we've seen this year.
Yeah.
Probably over the last couple of years.
Balling.
He's ridiculous. Don't compare anybody to him. No.
Balling.
No. I take that back.
You know who else is balling?
Yes.
OC Umanyora in the broadcast of the Panthers versus the Giants.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah, I liked it. The Panthers beat our Giants 20-17 in overtime. That was cool. It came down to overtime. Chuba Hubbard's a man, man. 153 rushing yards.
That's crazy.
He was balling, man. But once again, I'd like to give you the credit for balling out in that game.
I appreciate that, man. That was a really, really good game. And I got to be honest, man. You know, I say a lot of UK first. I believe in that. But that atmosphere in Germany was,
it was fun. It was fun.
They are something else over there.
Yeah,
they are about that action.
Yeah, they do a lot of entertaining and dancing and all that, and a lot of songs that you didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But you know what we'll represent next year? Mm-hmm. The Patriots were dancing all over the Bears. The Patriots gave Caleb Williams a rough day, man. He is struggling,
yeah,
man.
He is.
That offensive line is not giving him any help.
To blame the O-line.
He had 9 sacks, bro. You can't. It's the O-line,
not
man.
All on the O-line.
Now, come
going.
On, man. Now, that being said, if you're a New England fan, is this coaching staff giving you a little hope? They're back to winning on defense, and that's the key. And, you know, they haven't been the same, the Bears, since they lost to the Hail Mary.
At that Hail Mary.
You know what I'm saying? So good teams just don't bounce back, OC.
Yeah. New England is, they're starting to put it together a little bit, man. Drake May, starting to put it together. That defense playing well. Gerard Mayer, the head coach. I like that team. I think they could be all right.
I meant bad teams don't bounce back.
Yeah.
Bad teams. The Bills put up 30 versus the Colts 20. The Bills, man, 5th straight win over the Colts. Josh Allen, who ran another touchdown. He tied your boy O.J. Simpson for the 2nd most rushing touchdown in team history, OC. The Buffalo Bills are 8-2.
Juice is loose, man.
The Buffalo Bills are 8-2.
I don't believe them.
You don't believe in them?
No.
You don't believe in the Bills?
I don't.
Okay. Josh Allen might have something to say
I like Josh Allen.
Okay.
I just don't believe in the Bills.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But I was giving up on them early in the year. I was like, they're not even making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they just, Josh Allen, they smell. Okay. No smell test?
That's all I'll do.
All right. Well, it all comes down to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And you got Superman at quarterback. You got a chance. I can't wait to see how that works out.
Okay.
The Vikings put up 12 to win. You win with 12 points versus Jacksonville. It was a turnover field game, but they found a way. Sam Darnold, man, struggling. Three picks?
They're regressing.
This isn't the same team. This defense held strong, but, you know, it was against Jacksonville. And do you think our man Doug Peterson is out of Jacksonville at the end of the year, or maybe sooner than that?
Yeah, definitely. He's not going to make it through. They have to put together a monumental second half of the season. Otherwise, things are going to be curtains for him, unfortunately, because I like him.
Yeah.
I think he's a good coach.
And I look at Sam Darnold, and I think of the word regressing to the mean, right? He's
back to Sam Darnold.
It just feels like that, right?
Are you going to say that about Trevor Lawrence?
No, Trevor's my guy. Shout out to Trevor Lawrence, my bro. I would never say anything like that. Mm-hmm. The Saints beat the Falcons 20-17. After a 7-game losing streak, the Saints came back to beat their division rivals. You know how those games go. OC, Derek Carr, he looked sharp, throwing for 269 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Saints are back for at least a week.
Yeah, they fired their coach. When you fire your coach, it's usually this bounce.
It is the bounce.
I don't count
it. It is the bounce. And you're always right. They probably will fall back and be exactly what they've been. The Chargers, your team.
I like the Chargers.
27-17 versus the Titans. Justin Herbert and the Chargers defense, they made it happen. They picked up this win. Herbert, he's precise when he has to throw the rock, man. 7 straight games without an interception, OC. 7 straight games. This team has an
Alex
identity.
Smith ball for the 49ers, remember?
Yeah, but he can still slice you up and attack you if need be. He has a big-time arm.
Yep.
And he seems to be getting an attitude. Like, Harbaugh is, like, making him a little angry, and
that's
like
how
that.
Harbaugh is.
Yeah. This is a dangerous team, man. They're not surprising anybody.
And
right
they're quiet.
Now.
Nobody's saying nothing about them.
Quiet. They got some games coming up, though, where this defense has to show up and show out. The Cardinals.
Another team nobody's talking about.
Man, 31 to the Jets. Jets are done. Like, stop talking about the Jets,
they're
bro.
Finished.
Like, it's over. It's just over.
Does Rodgers retire after this season?
No.
Going to keep playing.
Keep playing. He's not the same Rodgers, so let's just give up on that.
This is last year of his deal with the Jets, no? Ooh. He signed a 2-year deal, didn't he? Missed last year.
Yeah. I feel like there might be something else to it, but yeah. I think we got to dig into that because I'm not sure. But to your point, this isn't the same Rodgers, and they fired their coach. Firing their coach at that time didn't make any sense.
Mm.
People said it, and you see why. But Kyler Murray, man. Kyler Murray is balling, bro.
Balling.
He's got them. They're heading into their bye with a 4-game winning streak. This team, This team is dangerous, man. This team we're not talking about. You talked about them earlier. And then we had Miami beat the Rams 23-15. You know, what can you say? The Rams offense, they just weren't.
We thought they were back.
They're not back, man. They're not back, which is why when you really think about the Cardinals right now in the West, man, we should really look at them as a threat.
Does Odell play for the Dolphins?
He plays for the Dolphins. Yeah,
He's playing.
Okay. The Dolphins, I mean.
Just got so many ever since options.
Miami's a distracting place.
Yeah.
Miami's a distracting place. That being said, you look at the culture shift. The Cardinals, I think it's working out here. I like it a lot. OC. You know who we're powered by?
Okay.
888 Sport, the official partner of the UK and Ireland.
Are you the smile on your face when you say 888 Sport? Ooh, them pockets must be heavy, Jay.
I got that power. But we need your power right now on the picks of the week. Let's see where we're headed at. I like the games this week.
Okay, good ones.
Let's start off with the Commanders at the Eagles, a divisional matchup. Mm. Do we have the script on how to beat the Commanders?
I think for this game, yes. I like the Eagles in this game. I think Commanders are going to lose a second game in a row here. I'm going Philly this game.
I'm going with Philly, too. I think the defense with Vic Fangio can find a way to really get after Jaden Daniels. Mm. So I'm rolling with you on that. We have the Ravens at the Steelers. Where are you going, OC?
Baltimore Ravens here, man. I think Steelers, although they've been playing really well, I think they're going to struggle in this game, J-Bo.
La Marvelous. He's going to make it out. The Marvelous. Ravens get the win. Seahawks at the 49ers. Another divisional game. We've had divisional game. Third divisional game.
Going with the 49ers here, man. I think the Seahawks are going to struggle in this game. 49ers take this one.
49ers with a healthy offense. We just talked about how hard they are to defend. This should be a good game for them. 49ers I'm picking. Also, the Chiefs at the Buffalo Bills. These two quarterbacks going at it.
I got the Chiefs in this game. I think this is going to be the best game of the year for them. This is where they're going to pull it together, and I think the Chiefs win this one.
Oh, see, I hate that we are on the same page again.
Again?
Yes.
I knew you were going to go with the Bills.
I'm going with the Chiefs, bro.
Wow, okay.
I've been on the Chiefs hype train all year. I'm not getting off right now. Going with the Chiefs. Let's see if this can break up this party we got going on right now, because we need to go separate ways on something. I don't know if this will be it. Mm-hmm. The Bengals at the Chargers.
I'm going Cincy here. I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals.
God, I'm going with Cincy too.
You are?
Yes, I thought you were going Chargers because you like the Chargers.
Nah, I smell a rat here. I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals, man.
I'm going with the Bengals too. Okay. I think there might be some explosive offense on the outside, right? Mm. I think they might find a way to really attack this defense with those wide receivers and Joe Burrow. I'm going with the Bengals also.
Five for five.
Hey, man, let's see how we roll. Those are our picks of the week brought to you by 888 Sport, and remember, 18 plus, please gamble responsibly. OC, that was fun.
Yep.
Another good one. Thank you all.
Yeah, it was incredible. You know what else I want to say? You know who I want to really, really thank?
Thanks.
Uncle Sam for coming out to Paradise Park football pitch. For us to go out there, you know what
I mean? Tell the people.
He showed his skills.
Yeah, tell him what really happened.
But 20, 30 minutes in, he started grabbing his hamstring. He's like, my hammy. J-Bell. I'm cramping up. He went out there like gangbusters. He was running at first, J-Bell. 20 minutes in, I was just looking at him. I was like, I played 1,300 games. I know where this is going. He know we had a two-hour game, J-Bell. All of a sudden, the hammy hit. He's like, ah.
You know what? This is exactly what you see with the young rookies.
Yep.
They go out there, that first, they're running all fast, and you look at them, you're like, three practices in.
We'll see.
They ain't got it, or they on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They end up unemployed. Ooh. Yeah.
Paradise Park Iniesta. Never unemployed.
Man, thank you all for listening, watching, all that kind of stuff. Please subscribe, click the like buttons, tell your friends, all that. It really matters. It's very important. Appreciate you. Till next time. Paradise Park, OC, representing, you know, hey, keep your hamstring loose. Yep.
He actually said it on one of my passes. It was like, I saw him run. I hit him with a, and he missed it. It was a sitter. He just mistimed it.
And he said, on my hammy. My hammy.
Now he's just making stuff up for content. That's just for content.
Okay, that didn't happen?
That did happen.
He didn't say my hamstring. It wasn't his hamstring.
That was a sit and I just missed.
Oh man, it ain't for everybody.
I mean, from the back left, I hit him with a, that thing went all the way.
He was running in.
He tried to, he just, it ain't for everybody.
Oh my God. Oh, that was funny.
No, my man Sam can play, man. I'll bowl with him any day. Any day of the week.
Lamarvelous.